This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
I finally saw the video, Dave. Yeah. I finally saw the video that produced one of the most hilarious sound bites I had ever heard. And a sound bite I had heard.
Very iconic.
I'd heard that sound bite, honestly, no less than 200 times. But for whatever reason, had never seen the video. And this, I'm assuming most people have already seen it, of the woman was stomping grapes on a newscast. They were doing a story on grape stomping, and there are two ladies in these buckets stomping grapes up on a platform, and one of the ladies gets a little excited and missteps and falls off the platform. And then the soundbite that comes out of it, I always thought was a cartoon because it sounded...
She is a cartoon.
It sounds like a cartoon. Do we have that soundbite in the system? It's got to be... That's got to be just like standard for every radio station.
Arts and crafts. It's a lot of fun. A whole day. Stop.
I think she's actually hurt.
I guess those are the guys back in the studio. Apparently.
Yeah, there's a guy.
Oh, nobody rushes over.
A man and a woman who are back in the studio going, oh boy, we're going to have to check on her. But what's funny is the cameras then just zoomed in on a giant home or building that's in the background. They don't pan down to her at all, but you just hear that noise. And it sounds like a cartoon character to me. And
yeah,
it always did.
I always thought it sounded like a dog.
Yeah,
maybe a cartoon dog. How about that?
God, that is funny.
You know, I actually, not in that degree, I did hear a kick returner one time say that at the bottom of a pile.
Say ow?
Yeah.
Ow.
It wasn't that bad, but it was like, ow, ow. And I'm like, I think I missed the block that hit him. And I won't say who it was, but...
you lost respect
I did want to grab him and say... I don't want to say be a man about it, but come on, tough it up. This is the NFL.
Were there tears shed?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, that was over the top. Like, man, just think if something like that happened to you and you didn't really know, you know, everybody, and like they're trying to get like the first impression of you. Like if that happened to Bob, I mean, Bob's got a black belt in jujitsu, and all of a sudden he falls and he's like, Yeah.
I would deserve to be mocked for eternity.
Yeah, you would never live that down.
Oh my goodness. That is just the sound she produced is hilarious. I'm sorry, it just is, and you're right. It does sounds like a cartoon dog or something that's howling. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it looks like it's from the 80s or something. That's an old clip. Yeah.
I cannot believe you haven't seen it before.
Never
today.
Heard
That's
it.
Like someone telling me they haven't seen the Mona Lisa. That was like one of the most important videos on the early internet.
Is that 80s or 90s? What is that?
I think it's not think it's that 90s. Long ago.
Oh, that's like 10 years ago.
Is it?
Yeah.
The clothes they're wearing and everything, it looks really old.
It looks very 90s.
It was peak early internet.
Yeah, it looks pretty old, but yeah, I'd heard it. I've heard it a million times, but seeing it was just...
I'm going to say 98.
Oh,
that's my guess.
13 years ago.
13 years ago?
What was 13 years ago? I can't even do that.
2011?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Right.
It was originally aired on WAGA-TV in Atlanta, Georgia in 1998, and then first uploaded to YouTube in 2006.
Okay, so 90s, yeah. It definitely looked 90s, almost 80s.
Years ago, I just nailed it. 98.
Yeah. Jeez, yeah, it's quality stuff if you've never seen it. It's hilarious.
I wonder if that lady...
I'm sure she was fine. Sound like she got the wind knocked out of her.
Well, I like that she's screaming and yelling, and then she's like, I can't breathe. Well, stop screaming. Stop screaming and yelling.
Then they cut back to the studio. Oh, boy, she sounds like she's really hurt. We'll have to check on her. Meanwhile, the camera shot before they cut back to the studio was just this building. But you hear her. They don't put the camera on her. You just hear the noise, but you just see a building.
Well, I like to think that the cameraman actually put the camera down or, you know.
Tried to help
her up or something. But it's like Larry Stone and, you know, his son.
That's right, yeah.
His son, Jordan Stone, now doing an awesome job with the Mariner media staff.
PR staff, then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, his dad. I fell out of a chair or fell over backwards because there's one chair in the, it's in the little media room down with the Seahawks at the VMAC. And yeah, there was like a wheel not on the back. And so I leaned back and fell over. And Stoney comes over there and I thought he was going to help me up. He pulls out his camera like an assassin's blade and then takes a picture of me.
Did he send you that picture?
No, he never did. You know what? I got to get in touch with him.
Yeah, I'd like to see that picture. Dave flat on his back in a chair.
I'm holding my hand up going, Larry, no.
With a look of desperation.
Take a picture.
What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just funny stuff. All right, it's time for Best of the Rest.
We know you love listening to us, but there are great discussions happening all over our station.
I need more Jake Bobo. I need more of them.
Because Jake Bobo is objectively fun to say.
Yeah, just not good at bats.
Let's tone it down.
It's time for the Best of the Rest.
How dare you?
It's what we do every week here with Wyman and Bob. Take a listen to some of the conversations happening on the other shows and respond accordingly. And this one comes courtesy of Bump and Stacy yesterday. They were talking about what we were just talking about with Ryan Roland Smith. And that's Luis Castillo, who, again, if you go back to his final two starts from last season and then the three this season, you're going, all right, that's not the ace. That's not the rock. That's not what you need. You need him to be that guy. And he hasn't been that. And they talk about how concerned should we actually be by the start that he's had so far.
It was a no good, very weird, bad start to the season for Luis that continued in this opener, home opener, for the Toronto Blue Jays. Bump, I was really, really hoping and have been hoping that they're just going to have a game when they get right. They're just going to have a game when maybe the starting pitching comes out and looks phenomenal. Maybe the bats get hot. Maybe something happens. And there were some weird, not anomalies, but just some weirdness with this one, with a few of these outs that I'll talk about in a little bit. But what'd you make of Castillo's day?
It was a tough one, man. Here's the thing about Castillo. He got ahead in a couple of these counts, but then just missed his spot. And you listen to Service talk about where he's missing, and you listen to Castillo, he's just missing over the plate. Mm-hmm. He's the type of guy that gets guys to chase, and that's just not happening right now. Again, it's early in the season. His whiff rate last year was 30%. This year is at 18%. His chase contact last year was at 51%. It's at 65%. Yep. He's just not hitting his spots. When he's missing, he's laying up a nice little meatball, and they're getting after him. But here's what's encouraging for me about Castillo. And I don't know if he has the greatest poker face of all time. During the game, after the game, when he's speaking through his translator, there is no flinch in him.
No.
I believe everything he's saying. You know, I'm working hard. Things are going to get better. I've gone through a type of slump like this last year. Things will be fine. So that's what I need. No, he hasn't had his best outings so far this year. Just missing his spots. That's what it comes down to. There's still movement on his pitches. There's still some stank and some nastiness on it. It's just when you got to close him out, he's laying them up right now.
So it's a bit of what Ryan talked about, leaving the ball over the plate. Now, Ryan was saying he's lost a little bit on his velocity. He was hitting in his last start. He was hitting 97. I mean, he's not sitting at 97, but he was hitting that. And, you know, he does still have the movement. Problem is the ball's moving back over the center, the heart of the plate there. And I almost wonder just even not just him, but what we've seen from Kirby and we saw from Gilbert before, or Miller, if these guys are trying to be too perfect, then, man, this offense isn't producing much. And there's the feeling of, you know, hey, I can't make a mistake. I gotta sit here and try to, you know, paint the edges here and really live in the black on this plate. And it's causing them to let that ball leak out over the plate, or things like, or I can't afford to walk anybody because if I give up a run or two runs, I don't know if we're going to be able to battle back. I just wonder if there's any, even subconsciously, they feel a need to be really extra perfect because of what they are not getting prior to today offensively.
I think that's a great question, but I don't think you're ever going to get an honest answer from a pitcher, you know? I mean,
they would never throw them under the table that way.
Maybe. Maybe some. Maybe
in
some
private, but pitchers. Yeah, certainly not on the record.
Or maybe on the record. Maybe some pitchers. I don't know.
I don't even think that person would be that foolish.
No? Okay. I think that's just human nature, isn't it? That you're trying to tighten everything up and you know that you're not getting a lot of offensive support. And I just remember Robbie Ray. It seemed like he more than a couple of times when he was here that he would just pitch a masterful game and we'd lose 2-0 or 1-0.
Well, that was the tale of Felix Hernandez in the city. Mm. He'd throw a gem, he'd invariably lose 2-1 or 3-2 or, yeah. You know, and I mean, this is a guy who won the Cy Young winning 13 games that season. So it's just, the ultimate hard luck pitcher, to say the least. But you just wonder, even if it's not a conscious thing, just that, man, I've got to be so fine. I cannot take chance. I can't risk walking people. I gotta, you know, find a way to get these guys out and not score in a way that maybe they're just not even conscious of.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I just looked up just a random stat because I was curious. So they're 5-8 now, 13 games. They've had four games where no one got a multiple game hit. Nobody had more than one hit. And so, you know, and you look at actually, and it had kind of an interesting result that Josh Rojas has done it three times. Three times he's had multiple hit games. And then Canzone is twice. But, you know, Rojas, Canzone, Haney's done it a couple of times, get multiple game hits. But it's just weird that you see the lack of offense. Obviously, you can see the stats and everything. But when you see, look at this list and go, man, Rojas is actually, you know, looking really good and having a great start. But what about Julio Rodriguez? You know, what about JP? What about Polanco? Which it's hard to criticize him right now because he made that awesome catch. I mean, that was
huge. You know, but if we were talking after yesterday's game, I wasn't feeling very good about him at all.
Yeah, he had two errors, I think.
One scored an error where he booted it, and he didn't field a throw from Cal Raleigh on a steal attempt where you're like, what were you doing there?
Yeah.
Like the ball just, he didn't see it. I don't know what happened. Then Cal had an error where he threw a bad ball to second that was like into the runner and ended up in center field. It was just sloppy. It was, Polanco, hell of a catch today. Saved the game. No doubt about it. Love it. Prior to that catch, he's been pretty darn disappointing defensively. Yeah. In these games. So glad to see that. Maybe that gets him turned around a bit. I don't know. But, I'm really putting a lot into today's win, hoping it carries over. And Ryan talked about, it absolutely can because you've got that day off. You got the plane ride home. You're talking about it rather than trying to figure out what did I do wrong this time. It's, hey, we won. Got the day off. It's lighter. It's just a better way to start things at home, and hopefully it leads to more consistency.
Real quick, you mentioned Cal, and I don't think we have a caught stealing yet this year. I don't think he's thrown anyone out yet. But, you know, they were talking about on MLB Network about, they called it worst pitcher base advances prevented, meaning the time, you know, from when the
pitcher
delivery.
To the catcher.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's something that's kind of, you know, to see him dead last, there it says -6 for whatever metric that they use there. But, you know, that's something that's very uncommon, you know, especially with Cal. Remember that streak he had last year where it was like four or five games in a row. He was throwing out one or two per game. But, yeah, so lots of things have not worked. And, you know, when they all come together, it'll be exciting to see what they come up with. But, I mean, it's right now it just seems like lots of things are not working. But I think most glaringly is the starting pitching.
Yeah, that's – for me, it's the offense. But, again, today you got both. Today you got great starting pitching. Yep. You got great bullpen work. And the offense came to life and put up six runs.
When you say, look back at the rotation, like Kirby, his first outing was phenomenal.
Outstanding.
And then
his next two were terrible.
Right. And then Logan today.
First one was great. Second one was not. Today, phenomenal.
Today was phenomenal, up on the level of Kirby.
Yeah.
His first one was really good, too.
Yeah. Miller, his last outing, outstanding.
Yeah.
The one before that, not.
Right.
Yeah. So they've just kind of gone back and forth. Castillo, I'm still waiting for that one where we go, that's what we're looking. That's the ace.
Yeah.
He hasn't had that outstanding one yet.
No.
Meanwhile, Brock and Salk yesterday were talking about why people are interested in pointing out how well former Mariners are doing.
Hey, when are we going to talk about how Kelnick and Gino Suarez and Teo Hernandez are doing? How come you're not talking more about that? Mm-hmm. To which I say, well, we talked about it last week. What do you want, every show to be about that? I don't know what you want me to say. We have talked about it. But more importantly, why do you want to know? What's the reason behind it? I think that's what's the more important question. How are they doing? They're doing great. All three of those guys have an OPS way over 1,000. They're crushing it. Mm-hmm. They're doing awesome. The Mariners do not look very good. Their offense looks very predictable, very much like what we've seen. And so the comp is obvious. But why do you want to know? Do you want to know because you want to twist the knife? If so, I get it. That's fine. If it's just about causing yourself pain, I totally understand that. Seriously, mm-hmm. I really do. Totally get it. If it's just about, oh, see, look what they're doing. Yeah. And if that's all it is, believe me, I'm very familiar with it. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. Is it because you're trying to prove that, you know, the Mariners can't have good things and can't have success and anybody who comes here is bad and when they leave, they're good? Or is it because you actually wanted them to run it back?
Right.
Did you want them to keep Kelnick and Teo and Suarez? Because if you actually want to have the conversation in a way that is more than just, you know, hey, let's lament the pain. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that conversation.
And he's right. I mean, there could be a million reasons why people like to point that out. For me, and I'll do that, I'll look and see, especially if it's somebody I didn't want to go. We said this when it happened. This is not revisionist history. I did not want to see Kelnick go. I know he is very polarizing. There are many people that were saying, get him out of here. He's never going to live up to it. And he still may not. We're talking about a handful of games. So we'll see ultimately where all these guys are at the end of the season.
He doesn't even have a home run this year, Bob.
No, he's terrible.
But he's batting .462, just in case you want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, we could check next week. He could be hitting .262.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how quickly these numbers change this early in the season.
Yep.
But he was the one I was like, man, you've seen the raw ability that he possesses. If he's able to mentally put it together, that guy can be a star. I don't know if he'll ever be able to do it. We'll find out. Teo, I had no problems with them letting him go. I didn't. It was not a great year for him last year. He was really frustrating to watch defensively. He struck out a ton. Him going elsewhere and doing well, I feel at best I go, well, too bad you couldn't have done that here. But I wasn't clamoring for them to retain him. Gino, I was kind of in between. I understood that, you know, he was maybe somebody they were looking to get rid of even prior to this past offseason, and I loved him, his defense. He had a down year last year, struck out a ton, power numbers were down, didn't show up in the condition that I think some expected him to. I didn't have a huge problem with that move. Kelnick was the one guy I was like, man, I just really hate to see him go because of his potential. May never live up to it. But there are those that want to twist the knife, as Saul talked about. There are those that want to say, see, the front office doesn't know what they're doing. Or, see, Scott Service doesn't know how to get the best out of it. It just reinforces whatever position they're already in.
Yeah. Hey, nobody talks about Tyler O'Neill, right? He was part of a trade for
Marco Gonzalez.
Marco, right?
That worked out way better for the Mariners.
Yeah.
Tyler, he had one big year, O'Neill, and everybody went, oh, great. He gave away the next Babe Ruth, and he's had a hard time remaining on the field, staying healthy, reproducing that particular year.
Yeah, well, I remember the stat when they were here. First of all, it's funny you mentioned Babe Ruth, because if you look at his headshot, he looks like a player from the 1930s, just his face and his body and everything. But he's had opening
day home runs.
Day home runs 3 years in a row, I think.
Might have been like five or something. Yeah, It's a cool stat. I mean, you know, good for him.
But I don't know.
But
I mean,
go look at his games played each year. He's had one big year, and then.
But I think the reason why people do that though is because you just want to see, did we win or did we lose?
Yeah.
And you know, I think Mike mentioned, you know, twist the knife, and then Brock said, mm-hmm.
Brock mm-hmm. said mm-hmm to everything in that bite.
Mm-hmm. Just teasing Brock. Mm-hmm. Brock is the man. There's nobody like Brock.
No.
But you know that. That to me is what it's about, like what Mike said. You know, it's like you kind of want to, I don't know, it's like a craving for some kind of pain. I don't know. Maybe, or just so you can say, did you see what this guy is doing now? Like, he could have done that here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I'm kind of tend to be, yeah, I'm going to probably be looking at these guys, especially Eugenio. We interviewed him last year, and he was just the nicest man ever. Played in every game. I mean, you got to love everything about Suarez. I remember when he came here and he had his hair half blonde, half. And I'm like, well, what's this guy? Who, what's he doing? You know, why did he do this? Oh, he did it for his little girls. And he'd always have his family out on the field and everything. So,
yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Eugenio Suarez is just is one of my favorite players, but we only got to know him for year or two.
Yeah, and listen, when your defense at third has had a couple of speed bumps already in the season, you're going, well, you didn't see that with Gino. He was a decidedly better defensive third baseman than we were led to believe by people who covered the Reds when he was coming over. And then his personality, which they did tell us was fantastic, lived up to the billing. Last year was a down year for him. I mean, look at his power numbers. What did he hit? 22 home runs, I think. The guy was generally 30s.
Right.
So he was down quite a bit. Strikeouts were at a crazy level. I mean, it wasn't an awesome year for him. So
speaking of that, you said adventure at third base. So Josh Rojas, he doesn't he had the one where he hit the guy in the head, right?
Yeah.
Has he had any other than that? I'm trying to think as far as little missteps at third.
Urias has had the one where, remember, he fielded the ball and the guy is right there where he can take a step and tag him and he throws to first and the guy at first is safe. That was against the Red Sox. So, yeah, they've all taken turns with a miscue here or there.
Yeah, I just – the one from Josh, I don't know. I think if you can hit a guy in the head, he should be out. But
I don't think you're going to get that rule into place.
No, that's not going to happen. Then everybody would just be trying to bean everyone else in the helmet.
Which would be fun to
watch.
It
would be kind of fun.
All right, coming up, is it a slow start or are there more reasons to be concerned about George Kirby? We're going to get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Mariners get the big win. Much needed win today over the Toronto Blue Jays. They've got the day off tomorrow, and then they'll be back at it Friday at home. Chicago Cubs come to town, and then after that, the Cincinnati Reds with Ellie De La Cruz. Nights ago, I think he hit an inside the park home run and also a home run that was like 450 feet or something crazy.
Remember he stole home last year.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I certainly will not root for him here in Seattle, but he's must watch.
I'm trying to remember how he pulled that off. Because he was on third base, he took a pretty big lead, and I think, did the pitcher turn his back, or he just wasn't ready?
I don't even remember. He kind of got that big lead and then started walking. You know, most guys will walk, stop, and, you know, try to get the attention and just kept going. I don't remember if they just stopped paying attention or what happened, but he's an exciting player, man. He's one of those players that you just, regardless of your rooting interest, you're like, okay, I need to see this guy up at the plate. What's
must
he going to
do? Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see if there's some carryover from this game. Maybe some positive feelings, a nice, fun plane ride home, and everybody's feeling good. They get the day off to soak up that positive energy and then get back to it against the Cubs, and hopefully it carries over. But we talked about the struggles of Luis Castillo. The other guy that you count on almost as much as Luis would be George Kirby, at least for me. He's the guy I think is the, you know, if we're just talking talent top to bottom, that his command, you know, what's funny is in this time, he's gone in his last two starts, dreadful, 7 2/3 combined. That's usually a game for him on a good day. His last two starts, he's gone a combined 7 2/3, 17 hits, 13 runs, 11 of them earned, 5 strikeouts, 1 home run, but true to his nature, no walks.
I knew you were going to say that.
No walk. As bad as he's been in these two games, and it's been bad, no walks. That's just who, his command is just something different, but he's catching way too much of the plate. You know, something they talked about with Castillo, and the same thing with him. Ball, you know, he's throwing this pitch and it's leaking back over the middle of the plate. And to me, that's the biggest difference between the Mariners' offense and other offenses. When a pitcher makes a mistake out over the plate, opposition's killing the Mariners when they do it. Yeah. Mariners aren't making the opposition pay very often when they make a mistake and they leave one out over the middle of the plate. They'll foul it back or they're going to miss it.
Yeah, well, we were talking earlier about, you know, taking out the fielding, independent pitching, you know, that whole thing. But still, like, he definitely could have benefited if there was just average defense behind him. But what your eyes tell you is that, I don't want to say he's not the same because it's to be continued, but, like, didn't he spike one at one point? Yeah, he threw a wild pitch that was, I think, hit the dirt. I think it was in the Cleveland game. And, you know, I think base runners advance. It was just stuff that, like, you've seen a couple of things from him this year that is not even familiar of what we watched last year. So I do love the zero walks, but
as bad as he's been,
yeah,
he's 17 hits, 13 runs, no walks though.
Are you worried about him though? I guess, you know, I think he's fairly young. And then also I think he maybe can be a little bit emotional. And I'm just drawing this from, you know, things that you hear here and there, but then also you watch his body language a little bit when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not great. But maybe that's just who he is, and, you know, everybody accepts it, and it's not a problem. But, you know, when you have somebody make a boot a ball and you know, you get you give kind of a pissy look or something like that. I mean, sometimes that can be misconstrued, or it can be like
poorly
a
received,
message,
man.
Yeah, that is received. So,
well, there are some around there that feel like he certainly has an edge. He's got an edge to him.
Sure.
And some take it as arrogance. Some take it as, you know, he feels that he's above some things that others aren't. I don't know what's true, what's not. But if, let's pretend that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe these two starts are pretty good. So that can humble somebody. It should humble somebody.
Yeah.
You give up 13 runs in 7 2/3, you should be humbled a bit. And I don't know if he needed it, you know, but if, I'm just saying, if he's that guy as some feel he is, maybe this helps sort of, you know, a little reset. That, you know what, man, as good as your stuff is, and he does have filthy stuff, he's got velocities, the command is otherworldly, you can still go out there and get lit up. These guys are pros that you're playing against, and they will absolutely torch you if you're going to make mistakes out over the plate, which he's done, and he talked about that, saying he didn't locate where he had to.
They fouled off a lot of pitches. I didn't execute that well with two strikes tonight, and you know, that's what happens. They foul off a lot of pitches, and then I just got to be better there, locate better.
He's got to locate better, and then he, you know, specifically that at bat with George Springer, I think was it like a 12 pitch, 13, something crazy like that. He ended up throwing like 34 pitches in that one inning. It was
right.
It just completely destroyed his pitch count. And you know, he was, after four innings, he was up into the 80s. It was just, it was bad. It was all kinds of bad. But he talked about if he gets frustrated when something like that happens, when the batters are fouling off pitch after pitch.
It's definitely frustrating, but, you know, like my head, I know I'm going to beat him. So, like, I just got to keep telling that to myself. You know, lock it in, make this pitch right here. And, you know, sometimes they're good hitters, so they're going to beat you just once in a while. And, tonight, I just thought I was a little bit too much in the zone and just didn't expand like I needed to.
He doesn't sound like overly emotional there, or that's draining him. The only thing I worry about is that, you know, sometimes on the field, if you're letting those thoughts come into your head, it's not helping you.
Right.
You know, that's for sure. And I'm not saying he's like glaring at, you know, the defenders if there's an error or anything like that, but that's just all wasted energy. You know, that's things, and that's youth, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, he's, you know, again, he's in a position now where he's gone out there and laid a couple of eggs in a row. It's a team here, right? If the guy behind you makes a mistake, you got to pick him up. You're his teammate. You pick him up. You don't let that mistake fester and then beat you again because you're mad on the mound that the guy didn't make the play. That's going to happen. That's baseball. So your job is to go, all right, we're good. I'm going to get this guy out, or I'm going to get this guy to ground into a double play, or I'm just going to focus on the guy at the plate.
Yeah,
we're going to get out of this inning. No harm done. No big deal. But if you're going to internally or even externally think, come on, dude, you got to make that play. Yeah, maybe internally you're thinking that, but you can't. That can't be how you perform.
No.
And that's the same is true for the offense. You know, the offense is
well, it goes the other way much more often.
They all got to pick each other up here.
Yeah.
You know, when your pitcher's having a rough day, it's on the offense to pick him up. And when your offense is having a rough day, which certainly seems to be more often than not, it's on the pitcher to pick them up. And the same is true for errors. It's just, this is a team sport. You can't be an individual in those situations because it'll be detrimental to the outcome of the game.
Well, and also, I mean, it's not as bad, but it's sort of the equivalent of a quarterback screaming at his offensive lineman, you know, if you're looking at your defenders, and because now here's a guy that's is going to be blocking for you.
Yeah.
And
your safety is in his hands.
Yes, he might get you killed. But yeah, it's a little different. But I don't know. I just think he's a young guy, and I do like that edge, and he's probably still trying to figure it out. Shoot, it's the same thing with, you know, I was listening to Passan talking about Julio, and he's like, hey, he's still young. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
23.
He is. So, you know, that, but now I think everybody's counting on him because of the money and the contract and everything. But, you know, you have to grow up fast. I would say that. But, yeah, He's still young. And so I think, you know, that's good news, right? The fact that you've got a couple of guys, you got two guys on the team that are real young and they're raw and they look like they have a lot more to come. And I'm talking about Kirby and Julio.
Yeah. It's you know, these guys are all going to learn, hopefully, from these kind of moments where things are not going right and they're left wondering what in the hell's going on to some extent. You know, maybe Julio's feeling that right now. Today he's 1-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. They won, so that takes the steam out of it. But as an individual, he's got to look at, what am I doing up here? Am I pressing? Am I, you know, go back and look at the film. Sit there with your hitting coaches. What are you guys seeing? Am I, it feels like just watching him on TV, he's taking a look at a ball. It looks like it's easy from the couch, but it looks like it's right down the pipe, center cut, and he's letting that go. But then he's going to offer at the one that's, you know, breaking ball low and away, or one that's up and in, jamming him. He's letting the mistakes go and offering up at the ones they want him to chase. So I don't know if it's just maybe his timing's there. He's seeing it, but he's just making some bad decisions. I don't know. But they need to get together because he's a catalyst. He's a catalyst for this offense, so they definitely need him. All right, coming up, what if a rule change has led to the growing number of pitching injuries? We're going to get into that next. It's What If Wednesday. That's coming your way with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
What?
What?
What? What?
It's time for What If Wednesday.
Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt.
Wyman and Bob rewrite the scripts of major moves and moments in sports every Wednesday afternoon. Now step into an alternative reality with Wyman and Bob.
It is What If Wednesday. We do this each and every week here with Wyman and Bob. It is presented by Mazda of Everett. And one of the biggest topics out there, in fact, we talked to Mike Blowers about this a bit yesterday, Dave. All of the injuries that are popping up with pitchers. And for a lot of people, the natural conclusion is, oh, what's the pitch clock?
Yeah.
It's pitch clock. Well, if you've watched this or read in depth on it, the injury rate was really ramping up well before the pitch clock change. I don't know that the pitch clock being in place is going to help, but I don't think it's the direct cause that some seem to want to make it become. And
some guys, they want to work fast. I mean, there's lots of pitchers, I would say half, that look like, you know, they don't need that. I mean, they're fast workers and it's not even a problem for them. It never was. So I guess it's just more the guys that are used to, you know, and I don't know what kind of a study that you would have to do, but I think it would be interesting. I'd pose this question, you know, what is Major League Baseball? What do they cater to? Do they cater to the fans and, you know, make it a shorter, tighter game without all the waiting, as JP talks about? Or do you side with your players and their health? I know what the NFL would do.
Yeah. They go for the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's possibly what's going to happen if, you know, this, what is it called? I've tried to forget the name, the hip drop tackle, the cousin of
the horse collar.
Of the horse collar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like they're going to go for the money, and I think it's a better product. But also, and, you know, you'll hear it from passing here, but I mean, I wonder if it reminds me of Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams' brain is too fast for his body. I feel like that's the problem with him. He tries to get too much out of his body, and that's what these pitchers are doing, man. I mean, there's a speed limit to how fast you can throw it before, you know, you start tearing tendons.
Yeah, these guys throw harder now than at any point in the history of baseball on an average. I mean, it used to be back in the day, you know, when Blowers was playing, if somebody was hitting 94, 95, you're like, ooh, this guy, Randy Johnson was an anomaly, and Nolan Ryan and those Roger Clemens, those were the hard throwers, and they were sitting 96, 97. You know, now you're seeing guys, especially coming out of the bullpen, on a regular basis hitting triple digits.
Yeah.
And it's just only so much torque and strain. We've talked a million times about the pictures you see of a pitcher in motion with their arm contorted, and it almost looks like the elbow's dislocated. I mean, it's It's gross looking.
Yeah, it is. It's disgusting. And he actually, even one of the pitchers, I can't remember his name, he was a bullpen guy here in Seattle, and he's like, yeah, I saw that picture. It's gross.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then somebody was mentioning, was it Glavin, and who was the other with the, when Atlanta, when the Braves?
It was Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz.
Yeah, and they were talking about how
Avery.
Two of them were, you know, very slow junk ball throwers and everything. And but I'm like,
yeah, Maddox was sitting around 91.
But that was
a command guy.
What, early 2000s?
It was 90s.
Was it 90s?
Yeah.
Even? Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know that that's a good comparison. But, yeah, I'm just curious if there's a speed limit for the human body as far as how fast you can throw.
Yeah, this is it certainly feels like it's becoming much more frequent now. So again, the clock, I'm not saying the clock doesn't have an impact, but to say that's why it's happening, the stats bear out that to be not true, because it was happening, it was increasing rapidly prior to the change in pitch clock. In fact, Jeff Passan wrote a book called The Arm about pitching, and he did chronicles injuries and things like that. But here he is just talking about what Major League Baseball needs to do for the pitchers who believe that the pitch clock is causing the increase in arm injuries.
I do think it's important that some pitchers do think it's the pitch clock, and they're the ones out there, and they know better than anyone how they feel. And so it's incumbent on Major League Baseball to at very least listen to them and add that to whatever they're looking into right now, especially if that's the price that they have to pay for the modern pitchers to sit down and talk with them and give their insight, which has not happened to this point.
That's interesting that they haven't really sat down with those guys. I mean, that's, you know, and I think the baseball players union is the strongest by far of any of the major sports. And yeah, I'm just curious. I think that would be an interesting clash. Because, you know, they've got a pretty good thing going with this pitch clock and the speed of the games.
Yeah, it's been well received by the fans, and everybody seems to like it, except for you. You like more waiting.
Well, and Matt. Matt as well.
I don't know that Matt wants it to.
Again, when I'm at the game and eating kettle corn, I want it to last as long
exactly
as possible.
Right.
That is the only scenario in which I want a long baseball game.
In here, you want it.
In
done.
Here, let's get it over with. Come
yeah.
on. But five innings, tops.
Passan wrote the book, I believe this came out in 2016, The Arm is what it's called, Inside the $1 Billion Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. And just looking at the chapter titles, he's got one here where it says, Land of the Rising Arm Injury Rate. Mm-hmm. That's chapter 11 in this book, back in 2016.
Yeah.
So this precedes what's going on now, obviously, by almost a decade.
Right.
So as guys have gotten bigger and stronger and been throwing harder and harder, and it's becoming more common to see guys sitting, you know, 98, 99, coming out of the bullpen, triple digits, the injury rate has gone up. And that part hasn't changed. It's just gotten more extreme even since he wrote this book. So,
well, and he also, you know, had a clip the other day. I was listening to him on with Brock and Salk, and he was talking about how this bullpen and this starting rotation has a lot of hard throwers. And so, you know, we sit and fret over the injuries and the starting rotation and the bullpen, and, you know, worry about, like, what if that, you know, goes away? Where are we going to be with the lack of offense and whatnot? But we, you know, we always wring our hands over it, and we were lucky, you know, for a couple of years. But it just feels like it's an inevitability that you're going to have at least a couple, three guys that are going to, you know, at the very least miss some time, but then, you know, hopefully not the tragic result that you're going to get. You have guys having surgery like Robbie Ray, and they're out for a year and a half.
Yeah, it's certainly unfortunate, and you're, you know, investing a lot of money in some of these guys. One of the latest to go down is Framber Valdez for the Astros. As I said, the notes, it's a bummer, but it's okay. He's an Astro.
Yeah, and I saw that you threw that in there.
And I'm kidding. I don't
anytime
want anybody.
Anytime I see a Houston Astro jersey or whatever, a picture, I'm like, okay, this is going to.
Yeah,
come with this little.
I'm not. I'm joking. I'm not rooting for injury.
No,
but you know, if it hurts their season, that won't hurt my feelings. I hope he's okay. But he's on the IL, and he's one of many that we've talked about.
Yeah, did you see the list I sent you today? And it was like over the last couple weeks, where they had just, you know, there was like five guys, and three of them were out for the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like I said, it's inevitable that that's going to happen. But if you look over the last few days, Shane Bieber,
who just struck out like 57 Mariners,
he's out for the season.
Yeah.
Yuri Perez out for the season. Shane McClanahan out for the season. Sandy Alcantara is out for the season. And then DeGrom and Cole are both, you know, they might return in August or June.
When you lost Lucas Giolito before the season even started. And, yeah, I mean, it's just it's been like almost like an epidemic.
Like you can just count on it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's I tend to think it's just a bunch of different factors. I don't think it's one factor. But to me, just looking at it and looking at when they show the average fastball and how it's that number has grown each and every year. Where guys are sitting and how hard these guys are coming out of the bullpen throwing that ball. And you look at the pictures. To me, that is the biggest culprit because, again, the numbers tell you this was way on the rise. We just gave you that chapter out of Passan's book from 8 years ago.
Right.
Where, you know, the rise in arm injuries and everything that's gone on. That's just continued. And maybe this is exacerbating the situation, having that much time, you know, cut off from the rest between pitches.
Yeah,
you talked about the guys who watched like Mark Burley. Mark Burley was a guy, he'd catch the ball. It's almost like he was playing catch. Yeah. Like, you know, like you're just throwing it the second it hits your mitt. You grab it, you throw it. I mean, that was his pace.
I feel like more than half are already there.
Yeah.
You know, that's the pace. But it's not necessarily the rest in between pitches. I think it's just that you're going to throw 103 miles an hour. I mean, that's... They're just not built for that. And he had a lot to say. I think he has a son, and he said something about how kids are coming out of high school now that are throwing 90. You know, so it's just ridiculous.
All right, everybody, that's it for us. I want to thank our guest today, Ryan Roland Smith, who joined us on the program. Always great conversations with Ryan talking Mariner baseball. So if you missed any of today's show, you missed our conversation with Ryan, you know where to find it, seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab and click on our picture, and it's right there waiting for you. As it is each and every night, click subscribe. That's the key to the entire thing. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow live from the Virginia Mason Athletics Center. We'll have the John Schneider Show. It's going to be a great show. Make sure you tune in to Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.